Sakura, Sky, and Loki.
This week, Google clarifies that Stadia's Pro subscription gives you an ever-growing library of games, a direct comparison to Xbox Live Gold, PlayStation Plus, and Nintendo Switch Online. The more things change, the more things stay the same, just like this episode of the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio Live once again tonight with episode number 785 for this July the 21st of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you here in our lovely studio N7 based in Sacramento, California. And with me, as always, for the past 785 weeks, say hello
mostly.
Say hello to Dark Soccer, Jamie Summers.
Sup?
Sup? Not on camera tonight because she doesn't want to be.
Well, I can be on camera. I've got very nice makeup today, although I am, I'll just go ahead and say I'm fighting off what may possibly be a staph infection on my face.
Yikes.
Because I punch too many people and blood splatter, you know, it carries pathogens and, you know, either that or I have the flesh-eating bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I hope it's not that. I hope you didn't bring that into my house.
No.
Give it to my cat.
I didn't.
All right.
I washed my hands before I, harassed your cat against his will.
Good, good. I'm glad you are
look.
Exercising good hygiene.
Hi.
We'll talk. There you go. Oh, I love it when you say hello to the listeners there.
Because also, I'm going to have different hair coming Thursday.
Good. Because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And although I gave you the main website there, VogNetwork.com, it's just going to take you over to our Twitch channel, which, of course, is twitch.tv/VogNetwork. So there it is. And, of course, who you do see on camera, Techmaster Loki right over there.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I heard you did laser tag the sequel today.
Yes.
I actually saw the laser tag place. I was out over there. Oh, God. This is funny. I was with my Ingress buddies.
Yeah.
But we weren't playing Ingress. We were playing Harry Potter Wizards Unite.
Mm-hmm.
And we were over there at the little restaurant that's like right across the street. And we saw the laser. Oh, that's the place Loki's talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. So it does look new. It looks fancy and new.
And it's funny because there's the packs in there, instead of having like numbers and colors to remember, they have names to them. And so all the names are like, you know, like just generic call sign names. But one of them is Loki that I found out.
Oh,
so I was like, I'm picking that one. And then that one ended up sucking. So then I just picked a different one the next time. But I got to play one game as Loki. That's funny.
How do you feel that you're getting a new Marvel TV series named after you? I don't know if you heard the news.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally down.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Even though I wish you'd pick a damn font. That's
No, all of them.
Wait. Dark Soccer is the one that actually like went to school to do design. Did you see the logo for the new Loki show? Because you know they're doing a new Loki show, a Marvel show.
Yeah, I saw it. It makes sense, actually, because when you have a character who is a shapeshifter and takes different aspects.
Why do you have to bring logic and reason into this?
It is a legitimately good design choice.
Why can't you be hateful like the rest of us on the internet?
Comic Sans is shit. Papyrus is shit.
Okay.
And if you use them, you should be ashamed. Unless you're dyslexic. Because actually, Comic Sans is good for dyslexic people.
Okay. Yeah. I learned something today. The more you know. Although, every time there's this font out there called Comic Papyrus, and it always makes me think of Dark Soccer. I'm always like, what mug am I going to make?
There is one I downloaded on purpose that was absolutely hilarious called Comic Slab.
Uh-huh.
You know what a slab serif is?
Uh-uh.
Like, it's the Western font with the big, thick.
Oh, like a wanted poster or something?
Kind of, yeah. Those are called slab serifs.
Okay.
And so someone made one called Comic Slab. It is fucking hilarious.
You know, Bobby and I have been chatting about trying to make sure the merchandise stuff starts happening before we get out to Dragon Con. Hope I'm not saying too much. Oops. But I do think it would be hilarious to get a VOG Network mug that's or something maybe about like Dark Sakura, but it's actually written in Comic Papyrus. Something like
that. Who do I have to murder?
Only her name. All the other ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be like I could have like a pretty Rob Roberts mug.
Y'all are going to be Helvetica. Boring as shit. And I get to be extra.
But versatile. And you get to be Papyrus.
I'm going to cut a bitch.
All right. Anyway. We're here to talk over the next
about fonts. It's all font talk
tonight.
It's
a font show. Isn't that fun? Fun and fancy free. Anyway, we're going to actually talk about video games for a little while. So tonight's going to be a little different. It's actually a shorter show tonight. We have planned. Usually we do like 2.5-3 hours. I am going to be honest. Tonight is going to be a little bit shorter. So here's why. Here's what happened. I got like kind of very short notice on Monday at my day job that they need me to go on a trip tomorrow. So I am going to be going out to Chicago, which is funny because I go there for personal stuff because Alan and I have friends out there, but just ironic. Work has an affiliated group out there too, so I'm going to be heading out to Chicago for that and working. So I'll be there Monday through Friday. But because of that, I have a 7:30 flight in the morning, which means I have to be at the airport on a Monday morning at 5. So you see why we have to end the show a little earlier than we usually do tonight, because I got to get up at like 4:30 tomorrow. And of course, I still have to finish packing, because you know that's a thing too. So anyway, hopefully y'all understand, but I'm looking forward to the trip, but it's just, you know, so much other stuff going on. So, and I'm trying to get some game playing done in there, but we'll talk a little bit about that as we start off. How was your gaming week? We like to talk a little bit about the types of games that we've been playing this week. So, Darsagra, how was your gaming week?
Also, for the sake of the chat room, I posted a link to my mentor Steve Mahalo's blog.
Didn't we have him on the show once?
Yeah, we did. He did the Flom game.
Yeah. I remember that.
So anyway, I posted that. But if you look up mahalo.com and then look up Comics Lab, you'll find the article about it. So I downloaded a game that I didn't get a chance to play, but I will be talking hopefully about it later in the show. Let me check the show roll. Yeah, I will be talking about it later in the show, so I won't say anything yet. I've been playing Pokemon Go. I've been playing Harry Potter. I'm still playing Idle Pouring, but now it's out of spite. So I'm hate playing it. And not really a whole bunch else. Like, Dan and I have been, like, obsessed with watching, live streams of pinball lately. So, the Star Wars Home Edition got released, and we were watching, Deadflip. That guy play it. His last name is Danger, and I don't remember his first name. He's a cool dude, though. But we were watching him play it, and people were giving all kinds of crap for it. You know, oh, it's a home version. It's missing all the stuff. The screen is small. I'm like, dude, for what you get for the money, if you've got $4,000 to drop, it's not bad for a starter table for a home for something brand new. Just saying. But at any rate, and I played a little bit of Theater of Magic, and I played a little bit of Twilight Zone. I've mostly been in pinball mode, so... Ever since I was a young girl, I played the silver ball.
There's nothing wrong with being in pinball mode.
A friend came over today, though, and it was the first time she had ever in person seen a pinball table. I'm like, how? She's like, oh.
Wow.
I was like, here, you want to play? She's like, I don't want to break it.
Did friend never get taken to like a Chuck E. Cheese or a pizza party?
That's what she said today.
Wow.
I'm like... You can play if you want to. Oh, I'll break it. I'm like, you should see the way these guys play it. They abuse them.
And just shake the table. Yeah.
Yeah. The fine art of not tilting. So anyway. Yeah.
Has anyone out there in chat ever like not seen a pinball table? Like, now I'm fascinated by this concept of like, it's okay. I'm not asking to make fun of you. I'm so curious. And of course we do tape live over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And that's where you can join our chat room if you want to give feedback on the show and what have you. And Bobby Blackwell says, even I don't like shaking pinball tables. Yeah, I don't like to do it too, but I'm more afraid of the tilt.
Yeah.
I might slap them. That's the most I'll do. I'll slap them.
Well, I have this picture saved, and I'll put it up first. People can see it. But I took a picture of the almost tilt, like the danger, for Black Knight sort of rage. And it's really cool because it's the knight-looking thing. It says, danger. It was really cool. But one last point about pinball. One little point. Did you know that apparently, and I need someone in the UK to tell me this for sure, but apparently pinball table is the preferred way to refer to it instead of pinball machine. But also, and I'm sure as Bobby can attest, a lot of us in the South or from the South call it a pinball table too.
I've heard both. I didn't really, it's not like a pop and soda thing. Yeah. Like I will not call it pop.
In the South, it's a Coke.
Pop,
and it's pronounced Coke.
Pop sounds like it's bubblegum. It's like, I hate that. That's like how some people really have an aversion to the word.
Bobby
moist.
Says the pinball Coke.
The pinball Coke. The Coca-Cola pinball.
But at any rate, you know, one of Dan's friends asked him if I was from Europe because I said pinball table.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I'm like, no, but I'll move there because this country's kind of shit right now.
All right.
So anyway.
Anyway.
I'm done.
All right. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole lot. I just played, or I worked a little bit on my game, actually coding it and stuff, but didn't get a whole ton done because I've been pretty exhausted this week. I started like a new, this like exercise challenge thing at work, so we've been doing these like high intensity, like
you were talking about this because you had that whole bacon pizza the other week and you were like, it's my last meal to gain a bunch of weight that I can lose really fast on the work challenge.
Yes, exactly.
So you were gaming the system already.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Did
so
it work?
Sort of. I'm down 6 pounds from when I ate that pizza, so, but that's all like water weight goes up and down all the time. But I have been exercising more, so I have been playing a little bit of Pokemon Go. I can't find my charger for my gacha. It's somewhere amongst my desk of junk right now. So I haven't been playing too much Pokemon Go, but a little bit. And now that I've been walking and actually starting to run a little bit, which I hate running, but I do it anyways. So I've been playing a little bit of that. And what else? That's pretty much it. I was interested in picking up Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 this weekend, but I was at GameStop, and then they're like, well, we don't have one. You can buy a digital copy from us. I'm like, why the fuck would I do that when I could just buy a digital copy through the Switch? I don't know why I would do that.
Please, sir, help us be relevant still. Please, sir.
They're like, well, you're not going to be able to find it because there's only two locations that have it nearby. I'm like, there's like other stores, stupid. I mean, like, I don't know. It's just silly, but I had to like look around because my son likes to spend like 40 minutes and they're playing the stupid demo for like the Crash remaster or the Spyro remaster games. I'm like, you know, we can just pick these up at home. Or like he's playing Zelda. I'm like, we have the full game at home. Why are you playing the demo? But he likes doing that. So I was looking to pick that up, but I ended up not doing that. So I didn't play a whole lot. By the time I got to actually play Mario Maker 2, my kids wanted to take the Switch away from me again. Plus, they've, as we'll get into it later, the controllers are all jacked up. And I was blaming them for it because, you know, they don't take care of electronics. But I'm starting to wonder if it's not their fault. It may not be.
All right. Well, we'll get into that in a minute then. But first, a little bit on my gaming week, although sadly mine hasn't been quite as exciting either. Because Final Fantasy XIV, I mean, that has just been my game of choice. So when I am gaming, I'm still trying to make my way through the story there. And I think I'm up to like level 76 in the story quest. So I think I'm about halfway done with the expansion and I am still really enjoying it. But, you know, there's a lot else for me to share with you that I haven't shared on a previous episode. But I am still making my way in Final Fantasy XIV. Survivor, fakey Survivor Online, still going. I'm still in it, y'all. Believe it or not, we're down to, how many people are left? 13 out of 20, 22 started and 13 are in it. And your boy's one of them. So I'm really, I'm pumped about that. Although, yeah, I can't say too much about strategy or things like that. But all I can say is like, there was a swap that happened just a little bit ago. And, okay, you guys will get a kick out of this. So do you guys want to know what they do for like challenges
yeah.
in these types of games? Okay. So we had to sign on Thursday night and into a Google Hangout, and they didn't tell us what the challenge was going to be, but they said it would be very helpful for you to know about these topics in advance. You need to know about Calvin Coolidge, spandex, the album Melodrama by Lorde, the Animorphs, and like all this stuff. So we put together this spreadsheet of just like helpful information and articles and things like that because we thought it might be a trivia contest or something, or we thought it might be something where like you have to talk about that subject and improvise it for like a certain period of time, and if you can't do it, you're out type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, we get on the call and they say, okay, in 10 minutes we are starting the filibuster challenge. You will have to talk about these six topics as a tribe as long as you possibly can. When you are talking, you must have two hands up in the air so that we know you aren't just looking at more information to keep reading. And your time begins in 10 minutes. And so we start opening up as many the fact articles as we can, so we get through. And sure enough, here's the crazy part. So one of the topics was squash. And so we were like, well, does that mean squash the vegetable? Or you want us to talk about squash the game? And
or squash is also a drink.
They said, right. And squash is also like a verb, right? So they said, as long as you are talking about squash, it counts. And we were like, oh. So our tribe spent on milk. We spent 2 hours talking about fucking milk.
Did you talk about Harvey Milk too?
You bet your ass I talked about Harvey Milk, and I talked about Milk the Drag Queen from season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race. And
did the topic of Milk Money, the movie, come up?
No, no, but somebody talked about MILF Money by Fergie. And that was, I don't, that, because the video involved milk or something. And what I thought was pretty brilliant, too, is we had two coffee people that had worked in coffee places. We had one Starbucks and one Dunkin' Donuts. And so they both, like, talked for, like, probably easily 20, 30 minutes each about, here's all the milk drinks on our menu. And in this one, you get 4 pumps of milk. And in this one, you get, and it was just,
and
like,
frothing it
on and on and on. Yeah.
That sounds like fun, actually.
So, yeah, actually, and you know, like, the minute I heard the challenge in my head, I was like, we got this. We're going to fucking win this. So their tribe on the – no, it was 7 topics. I'm sorry. Because there were 7 people on each tribe. But their tribe went for 3.5 hours talking about 7 topics. Ours went for 5 hours and 20 minutes. And at the end of the call – so like they, you were allowed to leave the call, but it's like that's less people to banter with. So the last 2 topics we had were the album Melodrama by Lorde. And it was just me and one guy on the call. And then I had the Animorphs because we each chose like one we were going to talk about. So the guy that was on the tribe that did Melodrama by Lorde just starts like reading all of the lyrics. You know, I don't even remember the lyrics at this point, but it's like, I'm waiting for it. That green light. I want it. Like he's just reading the lyrics like really monotone. And then when the Animorphs came up, okay, this is something I learned. There are 54 fucking books in the Animorphs series. So this is how it went for me. I would like to talk to you now about the Animorphs. Book number 1 in the Animorphs series was called The Visitor, and it was written by K.A. Applegate. And the barcode number, if you want to look up this book on Amazon, is ISBN 012. I did that 54 times for each and every book. I talked a goddamn hour about this fucking book series I've never read in my life. So it was, but I have to say, like, as much as, like,
what if you read the book? Like, just read the book out loud.
Let me tell you, if there was ever hope that I was going to read that book, this challenge we did, like, fucking ruined it for me.
No, I meant just, like, as a strategy, just read the book.
Oh my god, I love it. Sia Tiberi in chat is like, did you mention all the Megamorphs and the Andalite Chronicles? I fucking know what the Andalite Chronicles are now because of that fucking challenge. It's like, I actually get the joke. It's like, ugh. But anyway, so we won. And that was, yeah, I know it's silly, but it was actually like, it's kind of one of those, like, I can't believe I did that sort of like fun things. So I don't know. Like, that's the fun. But yeah, so that's how I spent 5 hours on Thursday night talking about fucking milk and the Animorphs. Anyway, SSG100 Matt says, what the hell? Does this have a podcast or something? I feel as though it should have a Talking Dead style post show. I heard that they do like YouTube stuff that recap, like the people that are watching it have like YouTube stuff that they do, but obviously they don't share it with us. We can't see it. But apparently at the end of the game, we'll be able to see it all and know like all the shit people were talking about us and who was liked and who wasn't liked and all that. So it's interesting. So, yeah.
I can't wait for the 8 hours of all the filibuster stuff.
I know all that. Well, yeah, I'm not going to. I mean, if they record, I think they did record it. If they recorded it, maybe Bobby will let me play it on Vogue one Saturday. I'd have to get permission from all around, though. That's not fair to everybody involved, but I bet they'd think it's funny. So I don't know. Anyway,
should have them on the show,
right? I should get a bunch of these guys that play these things and do like these silly challenges, like live. I've actually kind of talked about this, like doing like a game show night type of thing here with some of these people that sign up to do things for free. I think it would be fun. So anyway, all right. So
I have one last little thing.
Yeah, please.
I'm planning on doing not a web comic, but a web story, mm-hmm. where they're just little snippets of dialogue, kind of Homestuckish, just without the pictures, about a person who moves into a haunted house, and the ghost is then exposed to modern culture and modern technology and starts a blog. Would anyone read it?
No, nobody's going to read it. I'm sorry to say.
I wasn't asking you.
Of course, people in chat are. You gotta do the thing for people to read the thing. Remember that.
Well, because then
That's what I tell people who tell me, I want to do a podcast. I'm like, great, do a podcast.
Yeah.
Because you gotta do the podcast for people to hear the podcast.
Well, I'm just putting it out there. So look for something in the next few weeks.
Sounds good. As far as my gaming week goes, I mean, otherwise, there's really...
Sorry.
No, it's fine. There's not really a lot else for me to talk about. I guess Pokemon Go, I haven't played Pokemon Go in a long time, but I was encouraged to check it out again this week because they did this quality of life update that has changed everything.
I didn't notice.
It's the appraisals. They totally changed the appraisals. So now when you go in, it actually, you don't have to use one of those third-party apps to look at the numbers anymore, as long as you know, like, where 15 is on the bar and 14 and 13, you get a visual representation. Mm-hmm. And so you can tell right there. And it also gives it stars. This is a zero-star flop Pokemon. This is a one-star not-so-great Pokemon, and so on and so on. Up to 4 stars is a perfect Pokemon. Here's the best part, and this is like a game changer for me. So somebody like me who is hoarding like 2,000 Pokemon and have had a problem choosing which ones to get rid of, I can now just search 0 star, like the asterisk, and it will show me, here are all your garbage Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, great. Recycle, 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 recycle. Like as long as it
wasn't... Oh my god, there's so many Mudkip.
Something super
rare.
Yeah,
but I run a living Pokedex. So for me, not really so much. The only ones I care about are the ones I actually use a lot, like my Riparian and all those.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I got a shiny Mudkip today.
Oh, well, yeah, because the community event is going like right now.
Yeah, there's like 4 in the house right now.
Is there really? I should see if there's any shinies.
I'm gonna catch me some more Mudkips.
Just because I did not get a chance to play today.
I heard you like Mudkips.
Yeah, and there's obviously like a lot of people that were not able to do it because we're having this huge heat wave in the U.S. right now. And I was seeing that on our Discord over at VogNetwork.com/Discord.
It was nice today, though.
That's, well, here in California, but like out in New York, Chicago, like the Northeast, it's like 100.
And in the South, too, Mama was saying.
Yeah, it's really bad out there. So that's not fun for them right now. So I feel for them, I got to say. So, yeah, I'm actually shiny checking live on air. I only see 2 on the house, but neither are shiny.
I see 4. I'd like to get a second shiny to evolve it.
Ugh. Oh, well. Just my luck. Yeah, and SJ100 Matt in our chat says, yeah, the zero-star thing is key. Absolutely. I'm so freaking excited about that. And then I played Harry Potter Wizards Unite. I'm still going on that. We hit level 20. I did the community day yesterday. I should say that. I did the Harry Potter community day yesterday.
Oh.
So we went.
Some of us work.
Well, it was a Saturday, so I work Monday through Friday, okay? So it was we walked down to the Capitol where you would usually do Pokemon community day, right? Except, as you can imagine, not nearly as many people out and about as would be on a normal Pokemon community day. It was a lot of tourists. I saw some kids doing a scavenger hunt type thing. And once in a while, I'd catch another group where I was like, oh, you guys must be playing. Like, they're staring at their phones. And there would be, like, a couple of the fortresses were lit up green, so you know people were doing them. But for the most part, it was maybe, like, 5 or 10% of what would be there for Pokemon community day. But I think it's because most people I talked to about the Harry Potter community day had no idea, like, what is it? What's special about it? What are they going to do? And it was just – it really was just, like, boosted spawns and more XP. So I got to level 20 during the community day, so that was cool, I guess. But, yeah, like, I got to admit, it wasn't as exciting as a Pokemon community day because there wasn't, like, anything special to get or anything. Yeah, so I'm hoping they're still kind of feeling this idea out a little bit. But at the end of the day, Alan and I just kind of knew we just want to go out and walk around and get exercise and be nerds and play Harry Potter while we're at it. So, you know, the community day was a win in that regard. But, yeah, if you felt like you missed something from not doing the event, maybe a small XP boost if that's what you're into. So, but I will say in the Harry Potter game, what's really flopped for me is the week-long event they're doing. They're doing like a Harry Potter like foundable. I don't remember the actual name. Brilliant Foundables or something. They're doing a special event, and it's all the little like purple things that come
I've
up.
I've been all about that.
So, well, here's the problem I have with it. In the beginning, it was giving you great XP. You would get like 500 XP for everyone you returned, and I was like, heck yeah, this is great. And like it makes it worth doing. But then they issued a bulletin on like Wednesday or Thursday saying it's giving too much XP. We are going to nerf it down to the levels it's supposed to be at. So you get like 85 or 90 XP for a trace now. Which, considering how much you can do a green trace on those stupid owls, it will resist like 7 out of 8 times. And I'm sitting there tracing, and you're just burning spell power on these things you're only going to get 90 XP on.
Yeah, so, but if you throw a potion like right at the start, you'll just get it right away.
Yeah, but once I maxed out those 2 stickers, I honestly, during the community day, I straight up ignored all the purple
spawns. You still get SOS achievements for some of them. So yeah. I've been doing every single one just because I'm right now, I think, at level 16.
Yeah.
So I'm still working my way up through it because I only really can play at work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm playing at work.
I'm just trying to, you know, kind of focus on the other stuff. Like, it's kind of like, oh, I finished the event. It's always the port keys that get me stuck. And that was honestly,
oh, Yeah, I have two of those.
Probably the best thing we got at a community day was actually walking and increasing his port keys. That's my number one thing I need Harry Potter to get is Adventure Sync.
I have now learned the exact distance that I have to drive to get all of my distance in to get my daily achievement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watch the video of someone playing the beta for the Minecraft Earth stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which looks much different than... So the way they have it, you can actually hit all of the stuff while driving, which is kind of cool. They actually have it because it
as long as you don't end up in a wreck, yes.
Well, they have just like different things spawn, and that's how you get resources to build things, which is kind of cool, and craft stuff. So, I don't know. I'm waiting for my goddamn email to come in, but it's not coming in.
Oh, I haven't checked my... I keep forgetting that's attached to my spam address, so I have to keep checking that. But I will do that while we start getting into the news here, I think.
Oh, actually, yeah.
One last thing. I forget what the fire-breathing chicken is called in Harry Potter, because it makes me laugh every time to see the fire-breathing chicken.
It will tell you XYZ has been returned to the...
Except it shows up with so many other things. Like the one I just did one where you help Flitwick out.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't say what the chicken's called. And I forgot because my brain is just not wrapping around it. But it makes me laugh every time. Because I call it, in my head, I call it the vicious chicken of Bristol from Monty Python.
Some of the animations in that game are really, really silly, but they're like
fun. I love the ballerina, the giant ballerina. That one's like my favorite.
Oh, that looks like it's like an ogre that's a ballerina or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it makes there's like so much in this that makes me laugh. And I also think, though, just real quick, that they got the characterizations down perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Like the character models look really good and the animations are great.
If you turn your battery saver off, believe it or not, like it looks like it runs like a full 60 frames a second, at least on my iPhone 10. Like it's really good looking, but I imagine most people turn that battery saver on right away, which I can't say I blame you.
No, I don't really have a problem on mine. I mean, I haven't noticed.
Yeah. I'm actually scrolling through my emails right now. Looking at those of you watching on Twitch, like, why is Rob on his phone? With good fucking reason, because I'm trying to see if I have an email from the Minecraft thing.
The AR stuff is really cool. So like the thing that I saw a video of, the guy had created a redstone, it was a redstone timer type thing for racing. So it was all based on pressure plates. And so when you got to the end of the pressure plates, it would stop the timer. It's kind of like a speedometer almost. And it works in real life because when you're walking on those pressure plates, like in the AR stuff, it actually triggers them. Which is kind of cool. So he actually set it up like real size. He marked out on like a piece of paper, you know, where the pressure plates would be. So he like kind of put those on the ground so he could actually run from one to the other. But like in the game, you could see him like running, and it's triggering the pressure plates, which is just fucking amazing.
Okay, I'm super curious.
Yeah.
Because I read a not-so-great review about the beta on another website. Like, they made it sound like it's just not what you think it is. But I also find that a lot of, you know, especially, and I was especially learning this with the Harry Potter recent release. Like, a lot of people that were writing these reviews on Harry Potter were so quick to just say, it's Pokemon Go with a Harry Potter skin. It's like, no. Like, if you actually go into the Fortress battles and do some of the other stuff, like, there's some very distinct differences between the two games.
Yeah.
You know, I get that at its core, it's the same map. You know, that you're used to with Pokemon Go and Ingress, to be fair, and these other things. But it's just like, I could tell who the lazy reviewers were. So, anyway. All right. I think we can move on. We've talked plenty about our gaming weeks. I think we need to get into a lot of mobile phone games, it sound like. But let's get into some of the other news that folks are dealing with this week, including... Oh, are you catching... Oh, it's one of the Harry... the special purple... That's a Dementor, one of the special ones right now, right?
I wanted to show off the animation.
Sorry. And you got it. So, good job. Hopefully, is that your 12? Because you need what? You need 12 of the Harry Potter Quidditch one.
Well, I've already got all of them.
The other. Oh, okay.
I just, like I said, I'm catching those because it wins a medium difficulty. Mm. And but I kind of wanted to, I know it's really good for our home listeners, but I wanted to put it up on cam so that for people who aren't playing, they kind of get an idea of what I was talking about with the animation.
Sure, that's fair. All right. And remember, if you do listen on the podcast feed, and of course we love you guys for being here, if you head over to our Twitch channel, we do have an archive where you can watch old episodes on demand. You do have to be a subscriber of the VOG Network channel in order to have that, which you can do either a low nominal fee, or if you have Amazon Prime, which I think was on everybody's mind this past week with Prime Day, or perhaps you were, you know, anti-Prime Day, which is understandable too, then if you are an Amazon Prime person, you can use your free Or you get one free sub a month on Twitch. So if you consider using it at VOG Network, you unlock all the old video stuff, not just for OLR, but for Bobby Blackwolf as well as anything in the future. Some of the specials we've done. If you want to go back and watch the E3 Squeenix press event and that whole thing, you can see all that live. And there'll be certainly more to come as well as we start to develop that out through the year. So this year has all been all about the move to Twitch, and hopefully that's going to continue to grow as we move on. Anyway. Let's, I think, move on to talking about what's going on in the news. Loki.
All right. So as I kind of alluded to earlier when I was talking about my gaming week and playing on the Switch, been having issues with my Joy-Cons drifting. And I always thought it's the kids touching them with their dirty hands, which they do. They do touch everything with their dirty hands all the time. And so I assumed it was their problem. But apparently it's not. It's actually a design problem with the actual Joy-Con analog stick itself. Apparently Nintendo will actually fix them, and it doesn't cost too much to do that, $4. But they also want you to mail your Joy-Cons in, and it takes about 2 weeks to turn around and get them fixed. I haven't gotten that option yet, but that might be interesting to try that. But I don't know if it's going to be a permanent fix. And people have kind of gone through it and actually looked at, you know, what the issue is and tried cleaning them out, but that doesn't end up fixing them permanently. So this was kind of brought up in a Kotaku article. They were talking a little bit about different people with issues, kind of just trying to get all of those stories together. But it's very interesting to see that this is not something that Nintendo's really addressed aside from, hey, yeah, we'll fix it, but you would think that since they're putting out new ones now, and I'm almost curious also with the Switch Lite coming out, if they're using that same analog stick on there, that's a problem because you can't just replace the Joy-Con on there. You're kind of stuck because it's attached to the system. So I'm curious to see what they do with that. But it's funny because I don't have this problem on my other consoles, like on my Xbox 360. Occasionally, I think some of the analog sticks would die, like completely, but not just drift off to the side. And that's what we have happen. Like, even we were my son, like I said, was playing the Legend of Zelda demo at the Switch kiosk in the GameStop, and that Joy-Con was all fucked up. It was just looking straight down the entire time because it was like pushing itself up. So it's a real big problem. And I've had even like switching out Joy-Cons because I have two sets of them. Both of them are doing it now, and it's not something that I can avoid because who knows what the hell's wrong with it. It's dirt or something in there.
But it sounds like Nintendo may have to answer for this in court, right?
Yeah, so there's going to be probably a class action lawsuit around it because, I mean, it is something that they're not addressing up front. And so much like you would have, not so much to the point of like the Xbox 360 and the Red Ring stuff, but you know, to a smaller extent, this is a widespread problem because there's been so many people that have been affected by it.
Yeah, I have to admit, I don't have this problem whatsoever, but I'm not like a heavy user of my Switch. You know, of course I play it here and there, but I have a Pro Controller.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of my playing on the Pro Controller.
And those Pro Controller analog sticks are different.
Probably.
Possibly.
You're right. Questbuster in chat with his perspective saying it won't be permanent if they still use the same stick module. Someone took one apart a while ago and posted pics, and the problem seems to be the graphite pads the rockers move across to generate input. The problem is that graphite wears down and accumulates debris. And as J100 Matt says, sounds like it's joining in the long line of day one issues, PS2 discrete issues, 360 Red Ring. Yeah, I mean, it does sound
PlayStation
like...
4, the analog stick rubber rubbing off.
Oh, yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah, that's still like an issue, I think.
I think it would be great if Nintendo would just maybe have an exchange program or something to just, even if it's just like the basic gray ones, then fine. Because Nintendo is selling now all these new color. They just announced this week, like, now you can get purple and orange and green and yellow or so. I don't even know if I'm getting the colors right. Because I got to be honest, I hate that they mismatch. I know it's like a trademark thing about the Switch is that they mismatch. I can't stand it. That's why, I'll just take my plain
gray.
Why
can't they just do, like, this is a perfect opportunity. This is like where Microsoft kind of excels, you know, because with Microsoft, you can get the custom Xbox One controllers. And I think it's just Xbox One. I don't remember if they did it with the 360, but is custom Xbox One controllers where you can design the colors, the D-pad style, the colors of the buttons, and you can completely get whatever you want custom to you instead of having to wait,
an Elite controller, you can do that, yeah.
No, even just regular controllers,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you can do it with the Elite as well. But...
Oh, yeah, you definitely do it with the Elite. I know that's a Microsoft thing.
I really, though, hate the green-blue combination. Not the green-blue, but the green-pink for the Joy-Con, but I do like the red and blue one, the one I have. I think that it looks really
good. It's kind of like the standard, just the red and blue.
I
yeah.
got both of those. Yeah. I like the green and pink.
But even like the Pro controller is different colors on left and right. But like for me, I can at least write it off going, well, it's a Splatoon theme controller, so it's supposed to be different colors.
Yeah, that's where the green and pink is supposed to be from.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I would be very curious to see if Nintendo's going to have to respond to this on a larger level, especially if now they're getting called into court on it. Now, you know, I'm going to confess, maybe I'm just naive about this type of stuff, but why can't Nintendo have a firmware thing where you can kind of recalibrate those controllers?
You can.
Because if there's always a slight down tilt to it, can't you just kind of like have that be
but
the default?
But here's the problem. It's not all the time. It's intermittent. So it depends on where the debris is inside there. So one of the ways I've kind of tried to fix stuff is you can blow like compressed air in there to try to like kind of knock it out of the way. But it depends on how it's reading. And sometimes, like, I end up having to shake that controller back and forth a bunch to try to, I guess, knock the debris out of the way. And then eventually it will kind of fix itself. But if something gets stuck on there, then it'll drift slightly in one direction. So it's not all the time. And, yeah, you can recalibrate them, and sometimes that helps, but it's not... Is not a solution.
Interesting. She-Hulk-10 in our chat says, my Joy-Cons disconnect all the time. It sucks, and I have terrible lag. So
we just mostly use our Pro Controller. But
that's
the one
too.
That I bought had like a problem with it, and it drifts.
That's why I'm thinking I'm not seeing this program or this problem like the way others are, because there's very little that I actually use the Joy-Cons for. Maybe if I'm traveling, like tomorrow I'm going on a plane ride, so if I decide to bring my Switch, which I probably will, I'll use the Joy-Cons like attached to the console and play it that way. But most of the thing, like when I'm playing things like Bloodstained or even Splatoon, or like I can't think of a Switch game that I don't play on the Pro Controller.
It would be nice. I would even fix them myself if there was a way to like buy something that's a different, you know, surface instead of graphite, you know, another material that's not gonna break down.
Well, actually, kind of along those lines, you were saying you were playing Bloodstained. Is it any better after they did the patches?
I haven't, to be fair, because of everything else I've been into, I haven't had a chance to try.
Well, if you try while you're out, let me know.
It might be a traveling game, because I'm going to be gone. Yeah, I definitely have to bring my Switch, because I'm going to be gone for a week. So, yeah.
Well,
you know.
Well, Dan and I was telling, you know, Dan and I were looking at the nerfing on it and what they changed, and because they didn't do anything on the PS4 unless it was already like that. And so I was really curious as to if they fit, what the fix was like for you.
Shane is in our chat, Shad Starzik, saying, I haven't played the Switch in docked mode for months and months, so Joy-Cons are great to me for an individually customization aspect. Which, you know, if that's what works for you, awesome. But it's very interesting how different people kind of approach it, because, like, honestly, I'm almost exclusively docked mode. It is really only if I'm traveling is the only time I don't play in docked mode. And even then, I'm thinking, like, can I bring my dock and hook it up to the hotel TV? Like, I should be able to do that, right?
Yeah.
So, it's the thoughts going
probably
through my mind. Yeah. So, anyway. All right, well, let's move on and talk about a game that sadly is still not on the Switch, although I think many people are waiting for it. It's Overwatch. Maybe when they do, you know, there's a lot of rumble that this is something they're going to do for, and this is not the story tonight, but there's a lot of rumble that Overwatch 2 or some type of Overwatch spinoff thing is, like, going to be the big BlizzCon announcement this year with Diablo 4. Like, Blizzard is in a position where they realize last year did not work. And so they're going to come out swinging this year. And the rumor is that it's Diablo 4 and a new Overwatch game that will, in fact, as I think I've kind of said on the show before, focus a little more on some of the PvE things that they've been doing during the holiday events, but make that a little more of like an actual part of the core game. So anyway, that's all rumors and stuff. We won't know any of that till whenever BlizzCon is. What, September? I can't even remember when BlizzCon is. September, October? One of those. But,
wasn't it November? No.
It may actually be all the way in November. I think you're right. But anyway, we're going to go to something we do know. Now, this is for sure happening for Overwatch, and that is about role locking in Overwatch. And this all started from a video that had leaked relating to the Overwatch League. And sure enough, the game director, Jeff Kaplan, came out and said, in the future, players will now queue for specific roles in Overwatch games, too. This is important because historically the game has given you the freedom to switch to pretty much any hero you want right in the middle of battle, which, you know, is fine for, you know, experimentation and finding the characters you like. But when you actually want to win the game, somebody's got to be a healer, somebody's got to be a tank, and somebody's got to be – and actually it's 2-2-2. So you have 2 tanks, 2 healers, 2 DPS. That's the way things are going to be roll locked. And now when you want to play quick play, you say in advance, I'm signing up to be support. And then when you get in your game, you will be one of the 2 support people. And just like happens in many MMOs, including Final Fantasy XIV, I'll tell you, the tanks and healers are going to be waiting a hell of a lot less time than the DPS, which may have longer queues. So this is something they are talking about coming to quick play. Now, there will be exceptions to this, of course, because you can always make your own game mode. Like, if you want to play with friends and you're like, fuck that, I want to do 6 tanks against 6 mercies or something, you can you can do whatever you want still in that regard in the arcade. It gives you the freedom to do that. But this is going to become the new standard, which is what a lot of people play. Why did they make the decision? They said, the more that we can do to keep the pro experience in Overwatch League consistent with the live game experience of Overwatch players, the better from the Overwatch League perspective, because this is also going to be a change that is going to affect the Overwatch League. So when they play, they're going to be subject to the same rules, which for the most part, they've kind of been doing anyway. But I think it had been found that, like, I think it was a 3-tank, 3-healer combination was actually doing really well in some matches. So they don't want, like, one particular makeup to be the only way to do it. So they're going to do a 2-2-2. So it will be in quick play. It will be in competitive mode. And you cannot change your roles once the map starts. Yes, I was. The GOATS meta is 3 tanks and 3 supports. So no Widowmakers, no Tracers, nothing like that. So Fifth Dream in chat says, fuck rolls. I'm tired of being railroaded. Well, I mean, I don't know. I have to say, I'm kind of interested in this simply because nothing bugs me more than going into a map, willing to play healer, and then Moira gets snatched up in the first 5 seconds. And then somebody else grabs Lucio or Brigitte or something where it's like, all right, well, I don't want to do 3 supports, so I guess I'll have to do a DPS. Oh, the DPS just got taken. Well, I don't want to play a tank. I'm not good at tank. So at least I'll be able to, like, queue for the maps. Like, I'm going to play this role. And, you know, maybe there'll be one other person I have to fight with for Moira, but at least I'll know, okay, even if the other person picks Moira, I can do Mercy, I can do Lucio, something that I feel a little more confident with.
Very WoW.
It is. It's or MMOs in general, really. It's very much like you're queuing for a dungeon, and the dungeon is the Overwatch map.
And remember, thank your healer.
And based on some of the screenshots, it looked like they were offering rewards for certain roles like they do in MMOs. Like in Final Fantasy XIV, that's just the one I have a lot of experience with right now. If, like, healers are in demand, you will get, like, bonus materia, because they have kind of a – it's not like it was in Final Fantasy VII, but you get materia, and it alters stats on your gear. So it's like you can give yourself, like, 40 determination or things like that. It doesn't, like, teach you spells. Not like
kind of 7. Considering coming back to 14, except I would need help power leveling.
Well, you can do it 1 of 2 ways, because you can't really – it's not like, wow, you can't power level people, because when you do dungeons, you get synced. So you can't really power level. You can buy a potion that just skips you through it all. But think I do think it's worth playing, especially like the Heavensward story.
Well, no, I was thinking to finish up the ones that I'm on and starting a new class.
Actually, wait. I do. You know what? I take it back. You can't, like, if you needed to do this story dungeon, I could just go in there as like a level 80, because assuming I'm 80 at that point, and I'm sure Shane could help with this too, or Captain
Spike. I
think
I'm 65.
Any of the variety of people we know. Yeah, but even then, like, there's such a jump between 50 to 60 to 70 to 80. Like, an 80 and a 65 could team up and take out any of those 60 to 69 dungeons. Easy.
Yeah.
You would need 4 people.
And basically, I'd have to relearn mechanics. Yeah.
And you've heard the thing about Shadowbringers is that when you get to those dungeons, fuck other people. You can just run with Truss. The only there's going to be 2 parts where you can't do that, and it's the 2 big boss battles.
Yeah. Which is cool. I think, like, the last thing I had done majorly was the Ultros, and then when they had so many of, like, what's his fuck, the annoying guy, shoved down my fucking
Gilgamesh
throat.
Or Hildebrand.
No, Hildebrand.
Yeah.
That I was like, I'm kind of done. I got sick of him. I hate him. He's an idiot.
You don't have to do this quest, though. They're optional.
I did them, though, because I was trying to level and I didn't have any other quests open to me at the time.
Gotcha.
I like his assistant. I think he's a fucking dolt.
I like the dad.
He's not funny.
Yeah.
I like his dad.
Yeah.
His dad's funny. But I just think that the character's comic relief that wasn't needed.
They may have finally retired him for Shadowbringers. I don't think he's in the main story. Well, don't quote me on that because they might come out and say, guess what's coming in 5.1? More Hildebrand. Like, they might do that. So don't, like, quote me on it. But he's not in the base. There's too much other shit to cover in the base because there's a lot. I got to say, the story is, like, it's real good, y'all. And I'm not even at the end yet. And, like, every day, I'm getting some text message from Shane where, like, he doesn't want to spoil it, but he's like, I can't believe that this happened. Like, this is the best expansion ever. Like, there's nothing is ever going to top this expansion. This is the greatest it's ever going
to
be.
Well, then I'll need to, you're on a different server than where I left off too, right?
I am, but we're in the same cluster. So even if you didn't move servers, we could still party.
But I think I want to still join a different free company. So if you've got a different free company, are all the same jerks that were in it that I didn't like?
This is a different, it's Shane, myself, and then we teamed up with the Game Buoy guys. So like
okay,
Captain
well,
Spike
then,
and then.
Well, then y'all join your free company.
And then these random like Aussies
okay.
that I met through the game is who we play.
No, yeah. I would rather join your free company and because everybody else that I was playing with, I don't think I knew anybody but like a couple of people in the current free company I was in.
Yeah.
So
cool. All right, well, we'll figure it out. Anyhow, Overwatch, turn to Final Fantasy 14 chat. How do you like that? Let's move on with some more stories.
How did you do that when I took a bite?
I'm sorry, but I'm going to need to do a quick AFK, but Dar Sakura will get into the next story.
Then they get to hear me talk with a mouthful of food. Speaking, though, of food problems. Oh, my God. So, anyway, this happened in Memphis, Tennessee. Oh, my God, I'm still chewing. Will you say something real quick?
You're still chewing.
I was hungry. I haven't eaten all day. Anyway, in Memphis, Tennessee, this family had to take their son, 8-year-old boy, to the emergency room. And you know why? He was playing Fortnite, and he didn't want to stop to go to the bathroom. So he got himself so constipated that he had to go to the ER.
I mean, I laugh because I live this. My kids, they'll do that, like, all of a sudden. It's like, I have to use the bathroom a lot right now. It's like, because we only have one bathroom in the house. And it's like, well, you had like 5 hours you're playing games that you could have used the bathroom, but you decided now is the time to do that. Or they're like, oh, I went to the bathroom in my underwear. It's because the screens and games, they make that a priority over themselves.
But it also is parents' jobs to make sure their kids are going to the bathroom
when
they're young.
And also that they're eating the right foods so that they're not constipated, because I'm assuming that they didn't drink enough water.
Exactly.
They aren't eating, you know, enough fiber. So there's a lot to that as well.
But, I mean, it also is another advocate for limiting screen time for kids or putting them on, like, a particular limit or something, you know. Well, and I won't even go into that because, honestly, I don't have children. I never want children. And this is why I don't want children, because I don't want the fucking responsibility. But even so, this kid's parents should have realized how much time their child was spending in front of the game and limited their time so that the child could take care of himself and also make sure he's not eating junk and make sure the kid's drinking enough water. In fact, there's a line here that says that the doctors told the parents that they need to pay close attention to what
their
kids are
doing.
Well, how long
was this kid playing
it doesn't
games?
Because,
I mean, if you're going to get that constipated, that would take days, I would imagine.
It doesn't say. And I would think that he would have had to have been playing, like, on average, I think that it's something like, a 2 to 3 hour digestive cycle for children from ingestion to excrement. So this kid would have had to have been playing and possibly even eating while playing for that much waste to build up in the colon and drinking no liquids with it, or worse, drinking a dehydrating liquid. I mean, I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but having like a caffeinated drink or you know, the wrong things, or possibly even drinking milk with it. If the kid's lactose intolerant, you know, and you don't go to the bathroom, that can be an issue too. But it's just really absolutely baffling how this could have even happened. And I don't look at it as a problem with the game. I look at it as a problem with, honestly enough, the parents not paying attention to the kid.
Yeah, that's usually what it is.
And another thing going into psychology here, because this is something I did study for a little while, is that for the younger that you are, you're more immediately concerned with immediate reward. Your brain isn't wired to think of consequences because you're still growing. Your life is immediate. And so for a kid, we can't expect a kid to be able to regulate themselves at 8 years old to the extent of, say, someone who might be 16 or older would be able to regulate themselves. That's really where parents need to step in and go, I think you've had enough. It's like the cat paw, time to stop posting.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, as a parent, what would you think of this circumstance?
I mean, just take better care of your kids. You should know better if they haven't pooped in a few days.
Put aside the Cookie Crisp and give them some Albran. They'll really have to poo then. Rob missed the entire conversation about poop.
We talked about it before the show, though.
Well,
so
yeah,
I
messaged Rob last night. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do the story about Fortnite sending a kid to the hospital. And he's like, oh, no, or something. And I'm like, yeah, he didn't shit for a while.
Have you guys been reading some of these chat comments? Because there's some good stuff in here.
Hold on. I was reading the article.
No, you're fine. SJ100 Matt says, can't poop regularly if you're just eating Doritos. Wow, that's some real tea.
Podculture says, give them the colon blow.
Orange Right says, holding it in for a fortnight for Fortnite. And Questbuster, probably with a more realistic perspective there. Tummy hurts, but I have a new hat now and need to show it off to everyone.
Mm.
Yeah.
But again, it's just like kids are more concerned with immediate reward. If their focus is on the pleasure centers of their brain being triggered by getting all of this and playing Fortnite, they may ignore their body functions because they're not mature.
Especially if you're 8. You know, like, I'm not going to make fun of the child here because they are a child. And
exactly,
if they're
the
not
parents.
Being taught, you know, certain things by the parents. So the one to make fun of here is the parents about, like, why, where are they? Like, would your 8-year-old be able to get away with this, Loki?
No.
Well, and see, when Julian was younger, you know, his thing was that Pirates 101. I don't know if he's still playing it. We'll have to get him into a real MMO.
Didn't we have him on the show when
he
was
a couple
of
times.
Yeah.
And I remember everyone said, get good. And he's like, it's like, I'm a fucking 11-year-old. I love that boy. But at any rate.
Is he almost a teenager?
He is 12.
Oh, my
gosh.
He's going to
be
yes.
13 next April.
Oh, my gosh.
Late April.
We're going to have to get him back on the show after his voice changes.
Oh, it's already.
Wow.
He's already got crackly voice right now.
Okay.
You know, that kind of in between. Yeah. I sound like I'm slightly constipated.
Yeah, yeah, no. I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Julian is. He's just growing by leaps and bounds.
Oh, wow.
He's such a good kid, though. I'm so proud of him. And on top of that, too. He is a pretty vocal feminist.
Well, I'm sure his mom raised him right.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he also is very accepting of other people, and he stands up to bullies.
Good.
I am so proud of this kid. Like, I could only be prouder of him if I had squirted him out.
Our show will be in good hands when we all die.
I don't plan on dying.
So.
Anyway, yeah, kids, make sure your parents shit.
All right.
The end.
Let's move on, Loki.
All right. So, of course, we don't know a whole ton about Google Stadia, but there is some stuff that they did help clarify regarding their different plans that they have. So one of those, of course, is the Stadia Pro, which, you know, I was kind of wondering, what the hell is this? Do we get, like, a bunch of free games? And what am I paying $10 a month for with the Stadia Pro? So here's what Stadia Pro apparently gives you. It's not like a Netflix of games, but like with most other online services that you pay for, like Xbox Live or PlayStation Plus or something like that, you get a game a month, which is less than the other offerings, you know, out there.
You give you like four games a month.
A few games,
Microsoft, yeah.
And
I'm glad they – I mean, I think we kind of knew this from – or that part of it that it's not really going to be a Netflix of games. I think if you really kind of listen to what they were saying at E3, you kind of knew that. But it was nice that during this AMA, like the Ask Me Anything on Reddit that he was doing, he did just flat out say – like he didn't try to cut corners or anything. He said people – have wrongfully assumed this is a Netflix of games. That's not what this is.
Yeah. So it's just you get the 4K surround sound and a game a month. And, of course, they're starting that with Destiny 2. So, yeah. And they say roughly one free game a month, give or take.
So there may not be a free game in some months. And, yeah, I gotcha.
Okay. I mean, still not seeing the point, but...
It was interesting, too. I read through some of the AMA answers, and it was interesting how, and I forgot the executive that was answering the questions, sorry, but I thought it was interesting how he was kind of trying to justify, like, well, you know, because people were flat out asking, like, why am I going to buy these games that I don't really own? They exist on the cloud somewhere. And he kind of really had this attitude of, we get it, the cloud is scary, people don't want to...
Why do you use Spotify?
Well, and he kind of addressed that. He said, don't people buy movies on, you know, Google Play? No. Don't people buy songs on, you know, Apple iTunes or something?
Yeah, and but songs don't cost $60.
Ding, ding, ding. That you stole my fucking thunder. That was exactly the point I was going to make. No, you're fine. It's one thing to throw away 99 cents on a song that you can listen to like 100 times before you wear it out. But you are absolutely right. A song does not cost $60. And even a movie, I want to say, like, probably the most expensive movie you're going to buy is probably going to be, what, like $24.99 as a digital download?
And I don't really buy movies, really. I know some people, for Netflix or something.
I know some people might, but, yeah, I don't usually spend that much. Some people might, but I think even between $25 and $60, there's still a big difference.
Yeah, and just Google, like, I don't. It's hard for me to trust that the service is going to be around for long. I would like to think that it is, but like, I've got so many libraries elsewhere that I can't see. I don't know who this is targeted to. Like, if this is targeted towards gamers, we probably already have gaming systems. Are you targeting this towards non-gamers? Because is a non-gamer going to give a shit that you're giving away Destiny 2 for free? A game that's been out for a very long time? And it's technically not free anyways because you're paying $10 a month. So I don't get who this is. Who's the target audience for this is what I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know either. Interestingly enough, I haven't mentioned this yet on the show. So Prime Day sale happened, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I ended up buying a Chromebook. Because it was so, like, deep discounted, and I knew I had this travel trip coming up. I have no way to get my work email unless – because I don't have, like, a laptop. So I was like, all right, well, I had a laptop. The laptop I have is, like, 10 years old and the monitor is fucked. Like, I can't use that laptop to do anything anymore. But I was like, maybe I'll just get a Chromebook. So and it was super cheap because of Prime Day. So I was like, oh, whatever. Like, I'm not spending, like, a ton of money on whatever. And if I end up not locking it, it's not like, you know, it's not like I wasted a ton of money. But even I'm thinking like, oh, but, you know, thanks to that Chromebook, that could be a great little thing for Google Stadia. But then I'm like, I'm not going to do Stadia on that laptop, even if it does run six, you know, or whatever they're saying, 60 frames a second, the smooth stuff. It's just not.
Yes,
really,
like where would that happen? Like, you know, like I like would try to figure out the scenario. Let's say, okay, I'm on a business trip and I'm taking my Chromebook with me. On the hotel Wi-Fi, you ain't getting 60 frames per second in anything.
No, and DJ Rama S is like, Chromebook, I'm sorry. I need it to do like one or two specific things and that's it. Like, I realize I bought a pretty, you know, like bare bones type of thing. But that's all I need this thing for is bare bones stuff. So, all right. Anyway, I guess that's it. Nothing else on the Stadia AMA we want to talk about?
No, I mean, I don't know. Basically, I just don't see the point of the system right now.
Yeah.
That's really all I want to talk about is the clarification of that. Just.
Do you think they're trying to create a niche that doesn't exist?
I think they're trying to push that this cloud. It's kind of like, well, take the gaming anywhere. You can play it on all these platforms. But it's like, I don't want to play it on my phone. I don't want to play it on a Chromebook. Play it on my laptop? Well, you know, I can kind of already do that anyways. I mean, I would think this would be a big thing for like Mac users because you could play a lot of games that way. So that's
but Apple's got their own solution coming, which is going to be very interesting.
So is it not going to be on Mac? I mean,
no, I don't. They'll put Stadia on it. The impression I was getting is that Stadia, they're going to put Stadia
in
on
Chrome,
anything.
I guess.
But Apple's trying to fix that problem themselves, and they're spending the coin to get the developers in there to do it. So
yeah,
I'm
just
to see what
I will
happens.
Tell you this though, that the App Store does have a lot of AAA titles in it now, so. You know, well, I wouldn't be surprised.
But there's a lot of stuff. I mean, I like it when I can play it on my phone or when it's designed for my phone. That's why I love Pokemon Go. That's why I love Harry Potter. Great examples of like phone experiences. What I do not love is like playing Sonic the Hedgehog 2 on my phone because it's something that you're supposed to have a controller for. And it's like they put a fakey one on the screen. It doesn't work that way. Like when the experience is designed with the mobile phone as your device in mind, I'm fine. I just don't like it when they squeeze other games into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm fine with them trying to do this. Okay, that's fine. Let's just put it out there. We'll see how it does. Let's see what they offer to like make it interesting for me to want to buy this. Right now, there's not anything that wants me or is making me want to buy this, especially with next-gen consoles right around the corner. So, I mean, that's fine. Not everything's supposed to be for me, so whatever. I don't care. But I'm curious to see how well this does because I don't know who they're trying to focus this towards. I mean, I get like the streaming aspect's kind of cool where you can stream games. Well, you can stream footage of games and it's supposed to be, you know, lossless as far as that goes. But I think there's going to be problems with that too. I mean, I know you can't live stream because you have to have 1,000, you know, followers or whatever the stupid requirements that they have now, and then like the other times, you know, music and stuff's going to get your stuff demonetized, so that's a whole nother, it's YouTube fighting themselves, you know.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but whatever, that's fine. Right. Put out the product. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
All right, well, let's move on to talking about some of the announcements after San Diego Comic-Con. I feel like I've been asking for the past 3 weeks, is Comic-Con this weekend? Is Comic-Con this weekend? Well, it was this weekend. Finally
just check
happened.
Victoria's page.
Oh, yeah. My good buddy Victoria from Shaking and Crying. I know we haven't done an episode in a hot minute, but she's going to have a lot to say on the next episode. She freaking wore her cosplay of Janet from The Medium Place.
The Medium Place?
I think that's what it was.
The Good Place?
Well, but in the story, there's... No. Yeah. So anyway...
Okay. I've never watched that show.
It's fine. She wore one of her Janet cosplays, and she met the actress. Like, the actress was at, like, some, like, bar that was set up to be a Good Place thing, and she freaking went there and met her.
That's
so
awesome.
And they got a picture, yeah. So, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
It's that zigzaggy dress, too, which I thought was, like, so tacky, but it looks good on her.
Yeah, yeah. And it fit the theme, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, but other stuff out of San Diego Comic-Con, lots of people talk about the Marvel. There's a lot of Marvel movies. Like, Marvel movies had a ton of, like,
yeah.
There's just so much stuff between the TV series, like a Hawkeye TV series and a Loki TV series. And
the TV series sound interesting, but, like, I don't know.
And they were talking about they're going to do another Thor movie, but this time it's going to go to Natalie Portman throughout the
plot.
Well,
they did that in the comics, too.
Yeah.
So, Men Calm Thy Tits.
Well,
there are already guys being shits about it, of course.
Block, delete, move on.
But at any rate, though, there's this thing going around about them. Oh, the first Marvel LGBT character is Valkyrie. Read the comics. The characters have existed. Valkyrie's not the first.
The first of the big screen.
Maybe
though,
on
right?
TV, yeah. But Marvel has really had a leg up in the game for a while.
Yeah. Well, anyway, talking about the games for a minute, I just know a lot of you are thinking about, you know, the cinema stuff, but they did announce some updates for the games, including Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, which I'm kind of surprised you're not all over that right now, Dark Soccer, because that did just come out.
I have so many other things right now that I'm spending money on.
Sure, I understand.
I bought a dress.
Okay. Well, you know, when you do decide to jump into Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, maybe you want to pick up some of the DLC. They did announce at SDCC that on September 30th, Marvel Knights Curse of the Vampire will be released, where Blade, Moon Knight, Morbius, and the...
Moon Knight.
I'm sorry. I thought I saw a comma there. Blade, Moon Knight, Morbius, and the Punisher will be playable characters. Y'all got me. I don't follow,
care about any of them.
I don't follow comic books as close as you guys do.
And I don't follow comic books either, but thanks to Lego Marvel Superheroes for making me familiar with all the obscure characters.
There you go.
And Moon Knight is honestly the Marvel answer to Batman.
And then apparently there will be, I guess, a free update where Cyclops and Colossus will be added to the game. So you won't even have to do DLC for them. You're just going to be able to grab them as like free updates.
Cool.
So, and they're very much like the comic book looking ones. So that's pretty cool. So people will be into that. And another thing that they showed more of the Marvel's Avengers game, the one that, you know, Square is essentially going to be putting out.
Yeah, I saw the leaked footage of that.
Yeah, there was some leaked footage that came out. I try not to put too much stock in leaked footage because, you know, it looks bad because somebody doesn't.
I thought it looked
caught.
Good, actually.
Well, no. I mean,
yeah,
like,
oh, I know. The quality
is terrible. But, yeah, I mean, the game, like, what I could see of the gameplay definitely looked like, oh, this is the stuff.
It looked more interesting than what they showed us.
What they showed at E3. So it kind of blows my mind. Like, I understand that, like, you know, this is supposed to be a special thing. I can't believe they haven't already released an official rendering of that playthrough out to the internet.
I think that will probably come during Gamescom, if I were to guess.
Ooh, good thought, because that's just around the corner, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So, but the gameplay did look really nice. And then they said the Gamescom will be a thing from August 20th to 24th. And then they're saying officially this unveiling will come out in September.
That's dumb.
It's just, it is, yeah, I know. Just get it out there. Why make everybody wait? I mean, I guess they want to save stuff for Gamescom. I don't know.
But they're not. They're doing it after Gamescom. So yeah. That's lame.
Bobby Blackwell says it's apparently the same as the behind closed doors E3 demo. So I guess this is something they're kind of taking around.
Whatever, you know. Yeah.
I just feel like when you know that E3 did not go over as well as you'd hoped, I would think that you want to, like, get a little more out there. By the way, speaking of movies, because I'm looking at the little news ticker bar at the bottom here when we broadcast on Twitch, we have the news that ticks by. So even though it's not exclusively gaming related, a little thing just ticked by about Top Gun Maverick, because that trailer just came out.
Uh-huh. Okay, I mean, Top Gun 2, Maverick is still an asshole?
I had no idea that not only were they doing a Top Gun sequel, but that they got Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer to do it. Like, hasn't Val Kilmer had, like, unhealthy amounts of plastic surgery? Like, doesn't he not look the same?
I don't know.
I'm making that up, but I thought that was, like, a thing.
Now I'm going to have to take a look and see.
I did not watch that trailer, but I have to say it at some point. I did watch the Cats trailer.
I'm so excited.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to have an honest moment. I think the internet is giving it more shit than it deserves.
Well, and the people who are giving it shit clearly never saw the play.
Right. Well, but let's be real, Darcy. A lot of people hated the play.
Well, like, those people are wrong. But I'm going to give this an explanation to the people who have not seen Cats in a stage production. The stage is oversized furniture. It is scaled down to where the human actors are cat-sized. So for the movie, it's a perfect stylistic choice because it is exactly what it was like on stage.
And I think no one is complaining about the set pieces. The set pieces look amazing. The cats...
But I'm like, to be fair, I'm like, on Broadway, they didn't look great.
But that looked fine, though. Like, this is
Broadway,
a little Uncanny Valley, though.
I don't know. The CGI doesn't bother me as much as it's bothering other people. I don't know what it is. I'm just like... I don't know, but like I see all these things where it's like, wow, we have to apologize to the creators of Sonic the Hedgehog. Now we see the cat scene. But like when I watched the trailer, like the minute that Jennifer Hudson started belting Memory, I was like, this is what I will be paying money for. Because
yeah,
like,
I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Flawless. Like Jennifer Hudson is.
Well, and on top of that, of getting Judi Dench as, I forgot the character's name, but the character was originally male on the stage play. And having Judi Dench play that character for me is how I think that character always should have been. And on top of
you're
that...
You're right, it was a male in the stage play. It's the old Deuteronomy or
oh,
whatever.
Oh, Deuteronomy, that was it. And on top of that, of also having... what's-his-fuck is McCavity.
James Corden? Was it, or no,
I
don't know any of the character names.
But at any,
Idris Elba?
I think that's who they got him as McCavity. And McCavity was, like, my favorite character on stage.
Yeah. The CGI doesn't bother me as much as others. And here's the thing, at the end of the day, like, it's by the guy that did Les Mis. And all I have to say is that Arya Snark and I went to see Les Mis, the one with, like, Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe. We went to see that. We sobbed for 2.5 hours straight.
Can you hear the people?
I will start
sing?
Crying right here on this show if you start singing songs from Les Mis. If I even think about Anne Hathaway doing I Dreamed a Dream.
Oh, God, she was born for it. But I'm going to tell you one thing, Rob.
I need to breathe.
When you're not on air,
okay,
I want you to go and look up. It's like 36 Jean Valjeans.
Oh, yeah.
And it's people who play Jean Valjean in different countries. And guess who the Japanese one is?
Mm.
Chairman Kaga from Iron Chef.
Oh, how funny.
Because he played... what was the cop's name?
Well, anyway,
I can't think of it. But anyway, it's just absolutely amazing.
Fifth Dream today in our chat says it's called Cats, not Cants. I don't know why I thought that was funny, but I did. All right. Anyway, this is not a podcast about cats, but we had to look. Y'all are talking about it. Twitter did not shut up for an entire day about it.
One tangent more.
I will say it did. Look, I can poke a little fun.
Another
humor.
Topic, another destiny.
I can poke a little fun at humor and stuff, and even things that I like. I will say, I'll give you this good joke. So last night I actually hosted like a horror film festival for the first time, which I know is funny because y'all know like I'm super into horror movies, right? But what I did, I came out on stage and I was like, "What's up, Sacramento? You ready to see some movies?" And I said, "Are you ready to see the most horrible, gruesome, disgusting thing you've ever seen hit the big screen?" And the audience is going, "Yeah." And I go, "Roll the Cats trailer." And that got a good laugh. But I can poke fun at it. Come on. It was good for a while.
Judging you right now.
All right. Moving on. Let's get to you've been waiting to talk about this one, Dark Sakura.
Yes. So this, and I actually did download the game before I had this article on it, but it's by the creators of Journey, and it's called Sky Children of Light. It's a free game. You do have in-app purchases, just saying, but it's so pretty. Like, the moment I saw it, I really wanted to play it, and right now it's only on iOS, but it does sort of feel like it's an offshoot of Journey. So you basically play a child of light who is a caped figure going across these different realms and uses light to revive stars and reform constellations, Prince of the Universe. Sorry, Prince of all Cosmos. Not quite. But you interact with your world and you have other players that are other sparks of light in the game, and you use gestures the same way. So this just seems like a logical expansion on the idea of Journey, but you're now on a wider scale. And it does have that same anonymity where you don't know who your other parties are. And you also don't like talk. You use, your gestures, but you can add your friends to it so that you can play with legit people that you know. But you also have that interaction of other people in the game. It's just absolutely gorgeous. The moment I saw a trailer for it, I was like, "Oh my God, I need to play this." Now you do have, some pay tiers to get like extra goodies, 'cause of course you do. But they don't like seem ridiculously unaffordable. But it is free to play. You don't have to pay anything to do much in it, but it's really pretty. I really think I'm going to enjoy playing it.
Yeah, I want to check
and
it out. But
I need something that isn't idle pouring.
But I must confess, I'm a little bit like shook, I guess, that, you know, an experience like this from the creators of Journey that is very immersive and beautiful and stuff is kind of confined to my phone. Like, I'm a little bit like, I wish they targeted one of
confined,
the consoles with this.
Confined, though? I mean, putting a personal limitation on it, though. You can do your little touchscreen right here, especially those of us who have touchscreens.
My little touchscreen. You said it.
It's not little. It's not really that little. The thing is that this is a power that we have now that we did not have when we were starting off as gamers. This is a legitimate forum to play a game on. And if you have something that is absolutely made with this console in mind, then you can't get an immersive experience in playing it.
I guess I'll give you that. And, you know, maybe in my mind I'm referencing too much to Journey because some of the stylistic, you know, things seem to be in common, and I would not want to play Journey on my phone. But I also don't want them to have just copied Journey and made a new version of that for the phone. I doubt that's what they did. They've been working on this game for like 7 or 8 years.
It looks so unique enough. I mean, yeah. I'll be perfectly honest. That was why I got it.
I'll check it out. But, like, you know, it's got a lot to live up. I don't want to sound dramatic, but, like, Journey is probably the best video game they'll release this decade.
Now, what if you play this and you decide that you like this
then,
as well?
Then great. then I'll file it up there with games like Pokemon Go and Ingress and things that I enjoy playing on my cell phone.
One thing that I've been really happy about is that I really do feel like mobile gaming has really been revolutionized within the last few years. Like, they're really pushing the envelope of what our portable devices can do. Well, especially with now retroactive updates being done to get more performance out of older phones, you know? I think that, you know, people who may not even be on the most up-to-date device can still get those same experiences. And I think that it's absolutely wonderful that now, you know, the hardware and software engineers are taking into account that people may not always be getting the biggest and newest of it. And so the software developers, too, they're taking that into account as well, making those games as accessible to people on older devices as they can. And I'm really happy and really proud. And I want everyone who says something about planned obsolescence to shut the fuck up. It doesn't exist.
All right. Well, let's move on. We got a few more stories to get to before we get to your thoughts on Discord. Let's get to Loki.
All right. So this is pretty cool. There's a fan-made game that's kind of done in an NES style, and of course it's for John Wick. So they actually have this available to play on itch.io. So you can check that out. It looks like, let me spell this, murilodev.itch.io/John-Wick. And you can check it out. It's kind of a run-and-gun style, looks a little bit like Contra.
If it's on itch.io, it's not actually an NES game either. It's probably a NES-inspired game.
Well, that's why I said it, NES-inspired game. It's okay. Not actually an NES game. But it looks pretty cool, and it looks pretty hard. So go check it out. Of course, being that, you know, it's supposed to be very difficult, there's no extra lives, no continues, and you have one life, and that's it. Then it's game over. So, I don't know. Pretty cool, though. I love fan games.
I have not seen a single John Wick movie, so this will probably do nothing for me, right?
All I know is don't fuck with his dog.
It's an awesome action movie.
Yeah, well, I like Keanu Reeves. I'm not a hater. It's not been on my list of things to see. I probably, because of this whole travel thing, I'm probably not going to get to see The Lion King. So,
but you already have.
Although, yeah, I heard it's not good, but I guess a lot of people are going to see it anyway. So, yeah. All right.
I kind of want to see it because Mustafa.
Well, anything with Beyonce's name on it, I'm at least going to look at it.
Mustafa.
All right.
Ooh, say it again.
Let's move on to a
Mufasa,
story.
Mufasa, you mean? Not Mustafa?
I said Mufasa.
Oh.
Let's move on to a story about the Nintendo Switch. And with this Nintendo Switch story, we're talking about a new, revamp for the core system, and that's kind of interesting. So the core system is going to be getting kind of like a under-the-hood revamp.
Mean a pro edition?
No, Loki, not a pro edition, but just kind of like a under-the-hood revamp that's going to add some various battery life to it. So right now, the current system will run from 2.5 to 6.5 hours, but the new battery, which will just start showing up on shelves, and I don't think they plan on like advertising it or whatever, but it's going to do 4.5 to 9 hours, meaning like I don't think they're going to advertise this new campaign like, it's a new Nintendo Switch. No, it's just going to quietly replace the Switches that are on shelves already, probably because they realize they want the current stock to sell out. So you will want to look for model number HAC-001-01. So you want to look for it because the other one will not have the extra -01 at the end. If you are interested in getting one of these that has the new battery. I'm not going to spend $300 on a new Switch just for a new battery. No. But it is interesting. This is happening. It's funny because you say the whole pro Switch or whatever. Maybe this is what they're doing for now just because it's like it was something they were going to do anyway. But they're not ready to do that Switch Pro yet. They're waiting
another
year.
Honestly, they have cases that have extra battery packs that you can buy. And being that the Switch charges by USB-C, you could buy, you know, one of the cell phone battery packs or whatever to plug into it as well to give it some extra time if you really want to extend the battery.
Great comparison. SSU100 Matt says this is like when the 360 got the HDMI port added in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember going around and looking for 360s with that SKU. Shad Starzik in chat says the boxes are changing too, at least in other regions, so you could tell the difference that way.
I told you the story about when Dan and I went to go find the last PlayStation that had an IO port, and we made the KB go through every single one of theirs until we found literally one left. And we still have it.
Yeah. But those IO ports were great because it lets you use those little plug-in things. That's how I was able to play my first bootleg games.
Well, and you know, we actually had a first model PlayStation that we would just do the single switch on. Oh, those were the days.
Yeah. You know, I will say, you know, it came up earlier about a PlayStation Classic and should I bother getting one? I was kind of like, meh. But I got to say, I don't know, maybe if I got like a PlayStation Classic that had all the old like DDR and the Beatmania stuff and the stuff I used to really love on the imports and stuff, I might be into that actually. So you can hack all that stuff on your mini
yes.
PlayStation?
Yes, you can.
Rob, we should tell the people what we did.
What?
What we acquired or started to acquire.
What?
Our TurboGrafx scissors.
Oh, that actually came up, I think, on Bobby's show.
Okay.
But that's okay. I'll say it again. Yeah, we did finally. I got the TurboGrafx. So did you.
They took forever to get the order up. And I'll be honest, I feel kind of guilty for supporting Prime Day after everything that was going on.
But technically, you're pre-ordering and not actually shipping something on Prime Day.
Technically, the money didn't come out on Prime Day.
So yeah, the money. I didn't spend any money on Prime Day. So I guess I can still keep up with my having boycotted because I didn't buy anything else on Prime Day. Or days, I should say. But it really bugged me that it took so long to get it up because I was just like, it took long to get it up because I was really antsy for it. But this is what I'm hoping is that it can be patched to where you can apply translation patches to like stuff like Snatcher.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
You know, I think I've got like a burn of the Sega CD Snatcher, but I would love to have this one patched.
I wish they would just do like an official translation, but I realize it's asking for a lot.
I'm certain that this is not an ARM chip running some sort of Linux or anything. They can't be hacked.
Oh, I'll be perfectly honest. I want a good translation of Police Knots, too.
Hmm. All right. Well, let's take a trip down memory lane. Since you brought up the TurboGrafx 16, I don't think that's where our classic game of the week is this week. But every week, Dark Soccer likes to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you brats should be checking out this game this week. It's the classic game of the week. And Dark Soccer, what did you pick for our listeners this week?
I went completely off console this time.
You kind of did.
I did. I well did. I went for Worms. Worms came out in 1994. Like, how is that for old school? It's a turn-based artillery tactical game. It was developed by Team 17, and it was, of course, the very first one. It actually, let me double check, it first had a release on, actually isn't saying what it was first released on, Amiga. Actually, so it did come out, I stand corrected, because European release was on Amiga, CD32, Game Boy, and Mac. So this was on non-PC systems first. It came out on the Mega Drive after that, and then got U.S. releases. So the first U.S. release was on PC for DOS. And then we got PlayStation, we got a European SNES release, and I'll go into the rest of these later. The last release was on Atari Jaguar. But it is a, like I said, a turn-based artillery game, very similar to like Scorched Earth, where you control worms. And you select different worms, and you use their tools for where they are to attack the opponent's worms. And then, you know, win the game. So you've got like different tools like bungee and a ninja rope and grenades and all this crap. And you, in the first game, you had over 50 different weapons and tools to use. And you can actually save your team as a scheme so that you can just pull that up for playing whenever. And you've got different kinds of terrains too. You have like an island, which is the terrain floating on water, or a cave where you've got water underneath the cave. You've got certain other weapons that are not overridable, just different things like that. And of course, if a worm is hit by a weapon, then the damage dealt to the worm is removed from its own health, so basically you got to eliminate all the other worms. So worms die when a worm enters the water, either by falling off the island or falling through a hole, when a worm is thrown off to either side of the arena, or when the health is reduced to zero. So basically, the game was originally created by Andy Davidson as an entry for Blitz Basic Programming Competition that was run by Amiga Format Magazine. So this was a contest game. So how's that? And it was, I mean, really just like bare bones, of course, at first, because it was basic. But the game was called Total Wormage. The theory is that it was referenced to Total Carnage, and it didn't win. But the game was then sent to several publishers and then taken to the European Computer Trade Show. He met up with a gentleman named Mark Foreman, who is the head games buyer at Gem Distribution, and they had him talk to Ocean Team 17, and they made an offer on the spot. So you got to stay persistent with those games, guys. So there was a lot more done. Funny, since it was had a lot of references, because it was developed in Yorkshire, and so they used a lot of different the voice samples that were done in native accents to that area, and so there was quite a bit that went in for some of the later releases. Like the PlayStation release had a lot of negotiation going on because SCEA, Sony Computer Entertainment of America, didn't want 2D games on the console. But the Saturn version was a straight up port of the PlayStation when it came out. The last release that came out was Atari Jaguar, also developed by Team 17, published by Telegames May 15th, 1998. It was one of the last remaining software pieces that came out on the Jaguar. And it was available through direct order and from Electronics Boutique, if we remember the old EB. It was, again, one of the last games that had the Atari name on it officially. It was very cartoon-like for the game. The style, it is fun. It's a funny game. Goddamn, played a lot of Worms for a while.
This game was a lot of fun. Like, I'm kind of with, who said it in chat? I think it was Dark Tetsuya saying, I don't think I played this one too much. I do remember the successor, Scorched Earth, on PC, though. Technically, Scorched Earth and Worms
came out before this.
It came out before, and they're actually not related, except the fact that they're a similar type of genre. Yeah. It's like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat type of thing.
I mean, Worms 2 was the sequel to this. And then Worms... Dan played a lot of Worms Armageddon. That was his thing.
And there was another game called Tank Wars on PC that I think was pre-Scorched Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so it's not a new genre. It just...
That would be a fun game to stream sometime. I want to play Scorched Earth on stream sometime. See what I remember of that game.
Yeah.
Those games are fun.
At any rate, this one actually had an expansion that was called Worms Reinforcements. It came out in 1996. And then later on, it had a new version that was called Worms United that had both of them on there. And it was only released for the PC. It had a single-player campaign and the ability to customize your level and cell packs, which was, by the way, already available on Amiga. And it had an introductory full motion video. And then Worms Director's Cut, which was the direct sequel, and it only came out on Amiga. It was a big success. I mean, by March 1986, it reached over 250,000 copies. And that's in less than a year. So it came out in November 95, and this was by March 96. So it, for all the versions, it sold well over 5 million units by 2006. Some people were like, eh. And other people like, oh my God, this is the best game. But some people were like comparing it to Lemmings, which I'll be honest, I don't think Lemmings is a very rewarding game. But overall, it got really, really positive reviews. And the Saturn version was considered particularly good. Of course, the Saturn was a 2D powerhouse. So... some people, like, the biggest complaints were about the slowness of large multiplayer, and how imprecise the keyboard controls could be. That's, of course, playing on a computer. But, considering what your internet was like in 95 and 96, we were still just getting past dial-up at this point. So the fact that it had reliable multiplayer at all is pretty astounding. And so it was actually the runner-up by EGM as the strategy game of the year. The only thing above it was Dragon Force, which is a pretty awesome game. And there you have it, Worms.
All right. Great pick, because, this game that I remember playing on the PC, again, not as much as, like, Scorched Earth and Tank Wars, but definitely you kind of saw the... I guess, like, the evolution of those ideas now, but, like, oh, but the tanks can move, and you know, the little worms can move, and it was a little more, like, this free-for-all type of thing.
I love their commentary.
Yeah.
Especially in the later Worms games.
It kind of reminded me of, like, a cross between, like, the Tank Wars or what have you, and Lemmings in some ways.
Yeah, but I think Lemmings is boring.
Oh, you're not a big fan, huh?
I'm not a fan of Lemmings, especially since, like, the whole game is based on a fallacy. Did you know that lemmings do not follow each other blindly? That was actually staged.
Well, I think for the game they probably took some creative liberties for sure, but you know.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly enough, it is just one of those games that really was sort of genre expansive. Does that make sense?
No, I gotcha.
Yeah. So anyway.
All right. Well, we are going to do just a couple more things here, and we'll see if anybody wants to call tonight on our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/Discord. You can head over to the green room, and if you want to leave us a little key on Orange Lounge Radio, what it is you want to talk to us about. All that information about how to do that is down below on our Twitch page over at twitch.tv/vognetwork. But every week, we also like to travel around the world and check out what is coming out on a game shelf near you. Loki.
Not a whole lot this time, but we've got Beyond Two Souls. That's coming out on PC, exclusively on the Epic Store. Tetris Effect, coming out this week on PC as well. Also exclusive to the Epic Store. And then, of course, we have Raiden 5 Director's Cut on Nintendo Switch. Kill La Kill. Yes, Kill La Kill looks like If. That's on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4.
Did you ever watch the anime?
No.
Kill La Kill is out there and pretty fun.
We have Wolfenstein Cyberpilot on PlayStation 4 and PC, and Wolfenstein Youngblood on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And that's it.
All right, traveling over to Japan and checking out some of the releases over there. We have, I'm just sorry, I think I might have accidentally unplugged the internet on this computer, but luckily that doesn't affect the show anymore because everything's on that computer. But anyhow, talking about what's coming out in Japan, we have Kill La Kill, the game, If, is also getting a Japanese release on the 25th, along with Spike Volleyball, Making Lovers, but without not a space, but like a star. So that's, I guess, a game that's going to be
Making
out.
Star Lovers.
Making Star Lovers, or making Multiplication Lovers, depending on the usage of the asterisk there. Those are the big releases in Japan this week. And seeing what is on the Switch, we have some of the Kill La Kill is out on the Switch game as well. And then Rune Factory 4 Special gets a regular and a little limited edition box set there this week. And Doraemon's Story of Seasons is also out this week.
Doraemon.
And let's see, Psycho Shooting Library Volume 1 is also
Psycho
out this
means
week.
Psycho means greatest.
Yeah, so I'm curious. It's City Connection is the company that's putting that, so I'm kind of curious what games they have in
that. Wasn't that a NES game? City Connection?
Yes, I think it was. So
maybe I'll do that for a classic game.
Fishing Spirits is also out on the Switch this week. And Pio Fiore no Banshu is also out. So I'm looking at that shooting library to see what games are in it. It's 6 eShop titles in one bundle. Mm-hmm. So it's Strikers 1945, Ooh. 1945 2, Soul Divide, Dragon Blaze, and Zero Gunner 2.
Not bad.
Yeah, not too shabby. All right. How about Europe?
All of these come out on the 25th. So we have a Wolfenstein Cyberpilot VR. We have Wolfenstein Youngblood. We have Kill La Kill. And we also have Fire Emblem Three Houses.
All right.
Sissy.
Well, the next part of our show is where we would go to the mailbag, where you guys can email us every week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails.
I'm refreshing it.
I do believe last we checked, unfortunately,
it's empty.
Yeah, we don't really have anything that's there. So that means.
I'll sing Memory.
Oh, no, it means Drag Race Talk.
Memory, all cats. Alone in the moonlight.
Okay.
I don't have a good voice.
Oh, I think your voice is plenty fine.
Okay,
when are we doing Karaoke Revolution on stream?
I don't know.
Well, don't they have the Twitch Sings now? You don't even have to
that's
do Karaoke.
That's right.
Revolution.
There's Twitch Sings. That's something that's got to. Wow, I hit the table with my ring. I was so excited. That's something we got to do.
You ever hit yourself with your ring?
I have pinched that little Yeah.
Like the divot. Hurt.
Yep.
But I was like trying to get something on my forehead when I was in sister makeup, and I bopped myself in the forehead with my ring and it hurt. And I just did it on purpose. So,
all right. So what night for our Twitch sing stream?
So SSJ100 Matt says, last time we did Karaoke Revolution, things happened.
It's been a long time.
You know what? I'm actually not as self-conscious about my voice anymore, so I'll sing something.
Why not? If I'm going to have Travis Donovan blasting for like the last 10 years of my life when I went to Great America and I couldn't really hear it. So life is a mystery. It's just like the really bad opening to Like a Prayer, but I'll sing that again.
I wonder what I should sing though, because I'm not really a show tunes person per se. But
do you know what my go-to? What are your go-to songs at karaoke?
Well, I did Ladyfingers last time I did karaoke.
Oh.
Which, you know, that's kind of like my personal theme song is Ladyfingers by Luscious Jackson, which, you know, was one of my favorite bands in the 90s. I love Luscious Jackson. And I think one of my others was Band on the Run by Paul McCartney and Wings. Did you see that Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr had a reunion on stage?
Yeah,
that's pretty badass.
My go-to karaoke song, do you remember what it is? I sang it almost every week.
I know that you sang Birdhouse in Your Soul for me.
Oh, I did do that one once.
And the key was weird.
Yeah.
And you had to change keys halfway through the song.
Yeah, I did.
Or but, not keys, but octaves.
Yeah, dropping the pitch to hit. No. Hand in My Pocket by Alanis Morissette.
That's right.
It's like my go-to, always.
That's right. Yeah. I need, though, like another one that's going to be mine. Like, what's something that I sing a lot?
I did. So one of my friends dared to tell me that he disliked ABBA songs. So just because of that, I did Knowing Me, Knowing You last time I was at karaoke. It was fun.
I think I would probably do...
Dark Tetsuya guessed Love Shack. That's a good guess, but that was more Miss Harper's thing than mine. Like I just
that
I
and
can...
Lisa Loeb and that one song that I fucking hate.
The Four Non-Blondes.
Ugh, God, yeah. I hate that song.
Yeah. So I was just really good at doing the what's his name? Fred that guy.
Yeah.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road.
Maybe I know what I would do because I actually think that they have it at Sidetracks. I would do Sissy That Walk.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Because like I'll sing that one in the car.
This is the last call for anybody that wants to call in our show tonight.
You know what would be great is if there was like an instrumental you and I could do I Look Fucking Cool. That was Adore Delano and Alaska.
Yeah. One time, I remember doing a duet one time. I don't remember who it was with. I don't believe it was Miss Harper. It might have been Princess Irene years ago, but I remember singing the Elephant Love medley from Moulin Rouge.
Oh, that's
cool. You know, love lifts us up where we belong. Like it intermixes all those songs. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun to sing.
So, I made a thread against my mom today. I said, and this actually relates back to songs of that era, though. I was like, I'm going to make you a CD of things that I think you like, but I'm going to put Captain and Tennille on it. And she's like, no, because Muskrat Love.
All right. Well, since nobody seems to be calling in, do we want to try to squeeze in one more story, Loki? I know we had some stuff we had to cut tonight.
Yeah, we could talk about how Detective Pikachu is the highest grossing video game movie of all time now. It's past Warcraft.
Oh, congrats.
Which is good because it's a great movie.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yep, so it's brought in a total of $436 million the last weekend, and that pushes past the previous record, which is $433 million by Warcraft.
I didn't realize Warcraft made that much money.
I liked Warcraft.
I didn't hate it. Yeah,
we saw it together.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. Like, with as much as, you know, like it seemed to get a lot of crap, like, you know, it had its issues, but I didn't think it was... I wish they'd make another one, but they won't.
And it'll be out on DVD and Blu-ray on September 16th.
Oh, shoot. Detective Pikachu?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good. So, just a warning. Like, I would say a week after that's out on DVD and Blu-ray is when I can talk about spoilers. Because there's still something about that movie I have not been able to talk about. But I'm trying to behave myself.
I still haven't seen it.
So, I'm warning you. You got a couple weeks after that DVD comes out. And then I'm talking spoilers. So, all right. Anyhow. All right. Well, I guess so. That's going to do it. We're about 7:45. That's about as long as I want to go tonight. So I think we're about the time to get everybody's final thoughts and wrap up our show tonight. Hey, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about our show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices are not here to air, then we can't have them. So please help us spread the word. Auto hosts on Twitch go a long, long way. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Those of you guys that do that on Twitch with the hosting. All that. Really appreciate it. And also, I know we don't read them all when we're live, but I do see the subs and the biddies, and I know you get your recognition on the ticker bar, and I'll read them when we wrap up live only on Twitch. But I really just want to stress how much we here at VOG appreciate that, especially because, you know, we were able to do flyers thanks to the biddies and the subs. We are hoping to do some new merchandise for Dragon Con. We are looking at doing other stuff. So it's really, really exciting. We were able to be a sponsor for Southern Fried Game Room, thanks to Biddies and that helped. So, yeah, just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all of that. All right. Let's get final thoughts. Loki, we'll start with you tonight. Your final thought.
Final thought is I'm hoping to set up a local meetup for laser tag soon. And I bought gear to stream it, because I don't think I can do that with the gear they have, but to record it. Yeah. Or ye camera it.
Mm-hmm. And my final thought would be, please send me your thoughts and prayers that I don't get voted out tomorrow, because it's not looking good. Tomorrow might be it, but we'll see. Fingers crossed. Toes crossed too.
And last but not least, because it's me, please remember to spay and neuter your neighbors and family members.
All right, that will do it. Have a wonderful week.
Oh, and don't let your kids get constipated.
Have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Thank you so much, and have a good week, everybody. We'll be back next week for a full show. Thanks for being with us for this abbreviated edition tonight. Happy week gaming and everything like that. And please take a moment to stop and go to the bathroom. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.